Well, this next story is one that has a lot of interesting layers that the three of us had seen play out in who knows how many emails going back and forth among J-School faculty and staff during the course of the last week because of how concerning it is on so many levels. It has to do with the firing of a reporter from WUTC, the Chattanooga public radio station, owned and operated by the University of Tennessee. Here's what happened in a nutshell. Jackie Herbert accompanied students from Cleveland High School's newly formed Gay Straight Alliance to the state capitol to meet with their local lawmakers to express concerns over anti-LGBTQ legislation pending in the state. She carried equipment, by all accounts, a lot of equipment. She says she had a long shotgun microphone with her. That's one of those on the long stick to be able to get access to somebody far away. She had on headphones and a digital recorder strung over her chest. She was carrying one of the station's logo tote bags with additional equipment and wore a lanyard with press credentials. Still, State Senator Mike Bell says he didn't know that he was being recorded in her presence and questioned her journalism. So he brought it up to one of his colleagues who reps the district where WUTC is, and he brought it up to the university's chancellor, since the university owns the public radio station. Today, Albert is unemployed, and there are groups rallying around her, including students on the UTC campus.
It was amazing. Like, when I first decided to go to, like, you know, start talking to the press, I wasn't sure what the reception was going to be, but it's like both sides. Like, today I did an interview with conservative talk radio, and like, we may not agree on so many things, but they were like, you know, we believe in freedom of the press and we stand behind you. So it's been incredible that this is, you know, something that a lot of people can rally behind.
And there have been a lot of people rallying behind her, among them National Public Radio, NPR itself, issuing a statement questioning the role of the university administrators in making a firing over an editorial decision.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is one of those situations where you have a legislator who complains to a chancellor, and then there's overreaction on the part of administrators down the pipeline, and then she winds up losing her job, and the backlash isn't worth what you did. I mean, did she do anything wrong? I don't see where she did. She was there. She covered it. She probably didn't say, hey, I am a reporter, but everything else demonstrated that she was there, she was reporting it. And from the story itself that she reported, I don't see where there was any kind of leaning one way or the other in terms of what was actually going on. The students there trying to talk to their legislators about a bill pending that they felt was not in their best interest.
Now, WUTC has removed that story from its website. There is a cached version available on our links blog through the Wayback Machine, which is an Internet Archive website.
There's also a website called shameonutc.org, which has not only that information, but has surreptitiously recorded conversations that Helbert made when she realized she was in trouble. And because Tennessee is a one-party consent state, unlike Missouri, she could legally do that. And so you can hear recordings of the station staff talking about how they're going to manage all of this. So it's really damning stuff now that she's filed a lawsuit. But I think there's some journalistic issues here that are really important to me. One, should she have identified herself as a reporter verbally if she was in a meeting that was quasi-private or whatever? Yeah, probably she should have. Would it have made any difference, though? I mean, I don't think so. I think the problem is that the legislators were upset with the story she actually produced. And that's when they started complaining about it. And they used this pretense or whatever. They used the fact that she did not identify herself openly as a reporter as their leverage. Then they allegedly threatened $50 million in support that the state government gives to the station and the university if they didn't fire her. So that's a problem. But I think the really big problem here is the relationship between universities as licensees of public radio stations and the independence that those stations need if they're going to do good journalism.
So let's talk about that for a second. Before we do, though, I do want to mention Missouri is a one-party state. So like Tennessee, it could have been recorded here. Only one party in the state of Missouri does need to be aware of that. I believe there are only five states in the nation that aren't. This is an issue, though, of the setup within the university and universities and schools owning public radio stations. Interestingly enough, it's a completely different setup than what we have here.
True, because at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga, the PR arm of the university managed or was a licensee of for the station. At KBIA, for example, at the moment, at least, I mean, the university owns the license, but in a deal that our former dean made before he retired, he brought complete management control of the station, not just the news operation, under the School of Journalism, which provides a lot more protection for student journalists working here than at a lot of other university stations.
This brings up, and there's an interesting piece also on our links blog from the Columbia Journalism Review that's taking a look at all of this today, how editorial control is very much like the idea of academic freedom, and that the journalists working at these stations that are still perhaps controlled by the public relations or communications arms within universities do still need that same freedom to publish their journalistic content that their academic faculty are given in terms of their publication and academic freedom.
Right,
as well.
Absolutely. And they need to have that both from the academic standpoint, but also from the journalistic standpoint to be able to cover issues that are relevant to not only their listeners, but also various other constituencies. I mean, it's just like if you're in many ways from an editorial side, the newspaper of the particular community or a commercial operated news operations has that same sort of ability to be able to do that. And what bothers me is the pressure that these legislators put on the station and on the licensee. These are state legislators. Those licenses are given to them by the federal government, not by the state government. So, you know, being able to put that kind of pressure on them from a financial standpoint, I just think is totally unfair and shouldn't have happened in that regard.
Unfair, but how do you also avoid that? On some levels, we see some of that ourselves even here in the state of Missouri, in the sense that the state legislature is still controlling the budget that goes to that state university.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as long as a public radio station gets a huge amount of money from government, whether it's state or federal government, there's always going to be this problem. And even if you have policies in place that give, you know, freedom of expression to the radio station for its news coverage, bad things can happen. Remember right after 9/11, KOMU, not a public station, but one that the university licenses, got in trouble because the news director said you can't wear flag pins as sort of this ostentatious show of patriotism. And the legislature tried to get him fired, and the news director, and almost succeeded in doing it. They did succeed in taking money away from the university as punishment. So this can happen here, and it can happen in a lot of other places.